In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, please.
Oh, my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Today, we are so excited to be here with Simone Sanders. She was most recently the spokeswoman and a senior advisor for Vice President Kamala Harris. And we're so excited that her new show, Simone, premieres on MSNBC this Saturday, May 7th.
Yeah. You got a namesake show.
Got the product placement, okay? The TV in the background.
Incredible. Okay, so Simone, we're going to talk all about the show, but we have to talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner white jumpsuit of it all. We have to spend a moment. I mean, you turned a look that made me think, if she's wearing this white jumpsuit, what is she going to do for her rehearsal dinner?
We love the white jumpsuit. Shout out to a gentleman named Rome at Saks. I sent him a dress that I wanted. Rome was like, honey, you need this. It's giving goddess. And
incredible.
It was giving goddess. And the jumpsuit was like one big spank, y'all. Like, it's so I just felt very, very pulled together and inside. And it's Kiara Boni. All cool. of their stuff is one big spank. It is mm-hmm. literally the best thing on mm-hmm. earth. I wore Kiara Boni for my engagement photo shoot. Put a spank on under it, honey. It's like, what is going on here?
It's like an adult
swaddle. We are
going to
bring you the fashions today. We just did a rehearsal show, so I just uh-huh. wrapped a rehearsal. My voice awesome. Is hoarse because mm-hmm. I had a really great White House Correspondents' Weekend, mm-hmm. and today I'm giving you a little Nina Parker, honey.
Obsessed.
Macy's.
Obsessed.
We love.
So tell us behind the scenes of the weekend. Can you give us something exciting?
Give us something. We're parched.
Well, the way I got into the front of the dinner line, I just joined Kim Kardashian's entourage. So she came to the pre-reception that was hosted by ABC. And I see everything. I'm like, oh, she looks fab. I'm sitting down, and my good friend, who I will not name him, but he knows who he is, he said, we just need to wait until Kim Kardashian walks by and walk with her, and then we won't have to wait in the line too long. And I said, okay. So we were in mid-conversation, and then he's like, come on, we gotta go. And I'm like, oh. And we just jump in, and I walk right in front of Kim's entourage and Pete, and walk right into that dinner, bypass the long line.
Gorgeous. I have to ask, were you close enough to Kim to have been able to catch COVID from her?
No. But I also had COVID about 3 weeks ago at this point.
Perfect.
So I'm feeling extremely invincible. I also mm-hmm. got a second booster shot. Sorry, CDC, Dr. Fauci. I did do it. So I'm good for like another month. It's going to be a month before y'all see me being a mask again. I'm like, I'm out here. I got all the antibodies. YOLO. But
perfect.
A month from now, I will be wearing my mask.
Just re-upped on the antibodies.
That's incredible. I love how your first thought wasn't like, oh, I'll get to see Kim Kardashian close. But like, no, this is a moment of opportunism. We are using this to get to dinner first.
Exactly. The line was so long to get into the dinner because obviously because the president and first lady were going to be there. You have to go through, they call them magnetometers, but they're mags. It's just like airport security. Mm-hmm. So you got to take all your stuff out. They got to check the purse. They were checking your app to make sure that you were verified, and verified meant mm-hmm. that you uploaded a negative test and they had your vaccination. So I still had to do all that. I just didn't
right, of course.
Have a very long line.
Yeah, yeah. My final question I was thinking the whole time, is there alcohol there? Or is everybody just
yes.
drinking water? Okay, okay.
Oh my God, no, there's okay.
wine. It's a dry dinner.
Excellent. I thought maybe it was a dry dinner, and then my FOMO waned.
Oh, absolutely okay. not. There was wine on all the tables. Some of the tables had champagne. In the official reception, obviously drinks, open bar there. and a number of the other news organizations also held pre-receptions. Mm-hmm. NBC and MSNBC had a reception at the Four Seasons.
That's before the one we I want to go to.
Politico and CBS had a reception somewhere else at the Washington Hilton.
Paramount. You were at the Paramount party, I saw.
There were lots of opportunities to indulge in a cocktail.
So do people turn up, or are they like, you know, are they keeping it cool?
At the dinner, people do try to keep it cool. But at a number of the other events during the weekend, I went to my agency party. I'm UTA, United Talent Agency reps me. And there were people way too loose at the UTA party. And I'm like, there are members of Congress here. We really need to pull it together.
Well, I mean, if there's members of Congress there, maybe we actually need to pull it less together.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
We'll get into the MSNBC show. I hope that you had a chance to really hype it with people over the weekend, but I'm so curious how you decided to make this pivot. I know that you had to have had many opportunities when you stepped away from your prior position when you left the White House, but you were looking for something specific with what to do next. How did you go about this pivot, and what factors needed to be there for you to do this?
I knew I wanted to have my opportunity to go back to TV. I'd never been a host before. Obviously, I'm a former commentator, and I've always wanted a show. So if not now, when? So
yeah.
When folks asked me what I wanted to do, particularly when I was talking to TV people, I told them I wanted a show. And without question, every single executive that I spoke to, except for Rashida Jones and a number of these other networks and entities, I told them I wanted a show, and folks would say, well, one person told me very directly, nobody's going to give you a show.
That's crazy.
I'm dying to know who told
you. Someone else said, do you want a show? That's so much work. Don't you want to be flexible and have other things going on? You don't want a show. Somebody else said, oh, I don't really see you doing the show thing. I don't really see you doing, you know, I don't really see you as politics. And I'm like, I've worked at every level of politics. But when I sat down with Rashida, after I had left the White House and we were talking about, you know, what I thought I wanted to do, I said, I want a show. And her response was, what kind of show do you think you want to have? And I'm very excited about what we have cooked up here. I cannot wait for people to see it. We're dropping a promo that you should see on the Twitters and the Instagrams mm-hmm. and the TikToks, honey, and all over social media very soon.
TikTok, love to hear it.
Yes, we'll have it. My show will have a TikTok. My show will have an Instagram. Of course, we'll have a Twitter and a Facebook page, okay? But we're going to do some new, interesting, and different things, and I'm just elated about it.
Oh, so cool.
Our listeners know that we are big fans of MSNBC's content. I mean, just the lineup, the anchors, the women on the channel are just really superb, honestly. So I'm really excited for you to be joining them. But how will this show, or how will your experience working in the administration in the past, how will that impact how you cover things on the show?
So a lot. You know, I have insight that no one else who has a show on any cable television network has. I know directly and have intimate knowledge of the inner workings of this White House. I have worked closely with the current president and vice president of the United States of America. I have experience in the progressive circles. I have worked at every level of campaigns in this country, state legislative races, all the way up to presidential races. So what I bring and the way that I view my role here is, first, I need to tell the truth, okay? We need to keep the bar high, substantive, but also fun and entertaining. And the best thing I can do for viewers tuning into my show on MSNBC or on Peacock is peel back the layers, ask the questions mm-hmm. that they're asking. You know, give a little insight. Oftentimes, I'll watch shows and people will say, why is the president doing this? Okay, well, I don't need to ask why. I am going to ask a different question. what about this particular thing made them do this as opposed to that? Because I know X was available to them. Mm-hmm. Give a little more context. I think nuance is missing from our national dialogue. Nuance is missing from Twitter, okay? Well, I mean, you can't really give much nuance in 280 characters. We have a thread, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm excited for the opportunity to give some context and nuance, but to have fun and to have conversations that people across the country are having. In the promo that I recorded, I talk about that people should view my new show as the intersection of politics and culture. It's the news you need to know, all the way from pop culture to politics. So we're going to unpack the day's headlines, but we're going to go deeper, ladies. We're going to go get into the weeds. We're going to unpack stuff. We're going to do the news and the stories that you care about, and we're going to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also such a unique perspective that you were a commentator for CNN and then you worked in the administration and got this context. And now you're returning to news. You're right. That's like, as you were explaining, like this person that said to you, why do you want to show? I'm not sure they knew who you were. Like, that's crazy. What
did they read? Did they check my Twitter bio was my question. But you know what, Amanda, I'm no stranger to me saying I want to do something. And then, you know, very powerful people like, I don't know. Or people that I respect saying, counseling me to do something else. And it's so surprising. I've been doing, obviously, like a lot of interviews talking about the new show, Simone, encouraging people to tune in on Saturday and Sunday and on Peacock starting May 9th, this Saturday and Sunday, May 7th for the MSNBC. Mm-hmm. And in one of the questions someone asked me, they basically said, they were like, you know, do you... what are you doing to kind of distance yourself from your past work? And do you feel like you need to reintroduce yourself? And I was just like, well, my question is, has anybody ever thought to ask that question about a white man that's doing what I've done?
No.
Think of all the other men.
Mick Mulvaney. Just nobody asked him that.
Come on, that have left a White House.
Yeah.
Have gone on to careers in media or podcasting, okay, or at a university somewhere where they have a podcast. Or they're a commentator or an analyst, or they get a show. No one's asking them to apologize, essentially, for their resume. They're encouraging them to lean in. That's why they got that job. And it didn't shock me that I got the question. But I think it's important for us to talk about, because the reality is that I think that I'm surprising for some people. I'm a bald black girl from North Omaha with a good nail, who has worked at every level of politics, who cares about fashion and entertainment and the intersection of politics and culture. And I'm not supposed to be able to be all of those things and have a television show.
I find it especially strange that someone said they don't really see you doing politics when that's the only thing I've ever heard your name in association with. Like, that is very strange.
It was strange. I was very taken aback by it. But you know what? The best thing I can do to prove those people wrong is to just show them. The best thing that I can do is to have been in anchor boot camp for the last couple of months, reading my teleprompter. Honey, I've done hours of teleprompter reading, practicing my interview skills, honing them, doing mock interviews and mock shows and trial run rehearsals, so that when I sit down in that chair on Saturday at 4 p.m., actually, I'm going to sit down around 3:45, to be honest, when I sit in that chair, there's going to be no question in anybody's mind that, you know, I was definitely made to do this, that I'm going to be great at this, just like I've been great at everything else that I've done because I put in the work. Yeah. There are lots of people that you can say that they are a little more fabulous than me, maybe, that they've had more experience, that they've been doing this a long time. Maybe there are people that speak better than I. There are people out there that read a better teleprompter. But throughout my career, I have made it a thing that you're not going to outwork me. I will get up early and I will stay up late, because the work is what needs to speak for itself. And I'm doing the work so that is the case.
Amazing. I mean, in the words of Beyonce, I always say, stay gracious. Best revenge is your paper. So this made me curious. What's the format of your new show when we're watching it? Like, what beginning to end? What are you working in?
Great question. Okay, so I'm in a really amazing studio. You'll get a little bit preview in this promo that I'm dropping, but I will caution folks that the final graphics you will not see until Saturday. So we are holding it close, but the aesthetics are just very cool. My primary colors are green for my show. Okay. No other show has that.
That's
true. Our logo
true.
Is very whimsical. Yeah. It's given Simone.
I can't wait to see the branding.
It's very exciting. You know, the communication yeah. person in me is like, what does it look like? How are we telling uh-huh. the story?
Yeah,
in terms of the content of the show, you're going to hear from me, but you're also going to hear me unpack things, talking to experts. And I like to say, as my people who know. So I'm going to have reporters on. I'm going to have people from these various organizations on. I'm going to have strategists. But if a strategist is on my show, you can bet that they've worked somewhere, that they have some expertise in what we are talking about. We're just not putting people on television to talk about things that they don't necessarily have a direct connection to. We will have a political panel. And think of my political panel being structured like the panel on Meet the Press Daily, right? So you have a reporter, and then you have somebody that is maybe more Democratic-leaning and somebody maybe mm-hmm. more conservative. So that Democratic-leaning person could be a columnist. It could be a strategist. Same thing for my Republican friends. In my rehearsals, I have practiced with some actual Republicans and some recovering Republicans. That they have called themselves.
Actual Republicans. Oh.
Yes, yes. I have real Republican friends that come join us. Because we can't have a real conversation yeah. about what's happening if we don't speak to everybody.
Absolutely, yeah.
But in true fashion, as I said, we're doing culture. We're going beyond the Beltway. So I'm talking to local reporters. We're going to do a segment mm-hmm. in one of my rehearsals today. We went to Illinois, and we unpacked the story with a reporter there in Illinois. And cool. we are going to talk to my culture critics, okay? So just like we have a political panel, we're going to have a culture panel, probably one day on the weekends and one day during the Peacock show, one of the Peacock shows. And my culture critics, you know, did you know that NBC News has a internet culture reporter? Did
yeah,
you know
amazing.
That NPR has a culture critic?
I was just going to say, it sounds like those are people and perspectives that have just maybe not been featured on MSNBC before, but the intersections with politics are just so obvious.
Very That's so obvious. Cool. Yeah. So the culture critics and our culture panels are where we go deeper into some of the stories that people really care about, but aren't making it to mm-hmm. the top news, top political news every day. And mm-hmm. we're going to go deeper, which means we're not going to do 5 or 6 topics on a culture panel. We're also not going to do 5 or 6 topics on our political panel. We'll maybe do 2 or 3 because we really want to unpack the layers for people. And unpacking takes time. I can't do that in 30 seconds. So we're going to dedicate, you know, our 5-minute segment, our 6 or 7-minute segment to having a fulsome conversation about deep things. So I'm excited for you guys to see the culture critics. We're going to be debuting it this weekend. We've got a great branded name for it. I don't want to give too much away. Good. And I have some really amazing first guests for my first couple of shows.
Oh,
so
cool.
I can't wait for you to see them.
Yeah, political people tend to overestimate how much people really want to hear about politics. Like, we always got to splash in some culture.
Yes, and culture is driving the political conversation that we're having. Let's just be honest. Culture is fashion, music, television, social media, technology. That's all culture. Actually, Elon Musk buying Twitter, that's a culture story,
culture.
Honey. It's actually
yeah,
not
totally.
A political story. It is a culture story, and my culture critics have something to say about it.
I mean, now Kim and Pete are going from the White House Correspondents' Dinner to probably the Met Gala tonight. So, it's really all just combined.
It is all combined. I'll be watching. I cannot wait to see the fashions coming from the Gilded Age. And look, it is driving the kind of conversations that we're just not having here on this podcast. It is driving conversations in what I call the non-political group chats, right? And those are the people I want to talk to. Those are the majority of Americans. They have these non-political group chats. I think people in D.C. often talk about the fact that we're just in this bubble. We think that everybody, and to be clear, I'm talking about, you know, federal D.C. And my fiance is the first nightmare of Washington, D.C. He worked for Mayor Bowser. He started the mayor's office of nightlife and culture.
Yeah.
And he regularly would remind me when we first started dating that there's that you federal people, as he calls us. And then he said, then there's real D.C. And he's so right. And so what I'm attempting to do is something that my fiance did for me. He merged the federal and real D.C. I want to merge politics and culture all across the country.
Love that. When are your weekends going to be?
Okay, so I can still go to brunch, okay? So I don't want anybody to think that they can stop sending me brunch invites, okay? I can still brunch. Okay. I just need to be on my way to the studio around 1:50 so I can review my scripts at 2 p.m.
Okay.
We have meetings in the morning. My team, half my team is here in D.C. another piece of my team is in New York. And so we love a Teams, honey. We love a Zoom connection. So we are on the phones in the morning and the night before because we're just not throwing a show together. You know, I always thought that people get up in the morning, they decide what the show is going to be. When in all actuality, there's forward-looking planning. And then you juxtapose your plan to what the breaking news is. And then you make adjustments. So we have a nice formula that we've set up. We have gotten into a groove of a routine that allows me to still go to brunch. And frankly, I'll still be able to make happy hour. Because yes. Show is over at 5. I do my rap meetings. I could be there by 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it sounds like everybody involved in your show is very curious. And that's always what makes a good show.
Yes.
I am feeling a lot of doom and gloom about the midterms, about the coverage of the midterms. I know that chances look a little challenging, but I also don't like these foregone conclusions. How are you going to approach the midterm coverage?
Amanda, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So
how are we supposed to stay engaged and excited when the people we look to aren't engaged and excited?
We lack hope in the media apparatus, and that's across the board. A lot of bad things are happening in the world. There is a war being waged in Ukraine for no other reason except these people are Ukrainian, okay? Their sovereignty is being trampled on. People are fleeing their homes. People are fleeing places across Central America for climate reasons, financial reasons. Yeah. They're fleeing gangs and cartels. These people don't want to leave home. There's stuff happening. There's a war happening in Ethiopia. Like, it's bad. There's bad things happening. Our democracy is hanging on by a thread. God bless the men and women and folks across this country that are committed to helping hold and stitch it together, like the bipartisan committee on January 6th. Mm-hmm. But there's also some great things happening. There is hope out there. I am seeing every single day, you know, I read the local newspapers. I see every single day great things happening all across our country, and I think we need to talk about them. Yeah. So the way that I approach the midterms, I'm going to be honest. Now, it does look rough. I was on my friend Amy Moyadine's show the other day, and people got mad at me because I said, look, I'm going to throw a little cold water out there. At this point, it looks like we're going to lose the House. Mm-hmm. But expand our margins in the Senate. And by we, I mean the people out there are talking about the Democrats. So it looks like Democrats going to lose the House, and they're going to win the Senate. But if people would like to change that, they got to do the work. Mm-hmm. And doing the work means going out there, they have to organize people. A Democratic National Committee needs to put some surrogates on the road and create a surrogate operation. You need to make people excited about the midterms because right now they're not excited. All they hear is that y'all getting your tails kicked and it ain't going to be good. So.
And listeners and viewers should remember you worked for a fair number of campaigns too. You worked for the Sanders campaign. This is not new to you either.
I've done more than 22 campaigns over the course of my career. Mayoral races, state legislative races. Governor's races. I've worked campaigns on reservations. I've worked judges' races. In some places, judges are in fact elected. Mm-hmm. Where I'm from in Nebraska, judges are appointed. And so it wasn't until I started working these other races that I realized, oh, they running for election for the law mm-hmm. out here? Oh, this don't seem right. This seems a little concerning.
Yeah.
So all of that means that I kind of know what I'm talking about. So that was my take on it. I got a couple comments and people hit my website email like, you were not being right. You were pooping on the president and Democrats. No, I wasn't. I have great respect for the president and vice president. I love them very dearly. Okay. I worked on behalf of the Democratic Party for a number of times in my career. But it's my job to be honest with people and to give them a little hope. And the honest truth is that if Democrats in this country want the midterms to go better, they're going to have to get up. If you care mm-hmm. about a candidate, you're going to need to give them a coin, okay? And not just giving your coins to people running against Marjorie mm-hmm. Taylor Greene. They're not about to win. You need to give your coin to a state legislative candidate. But what do I know?
A lot, apparently.
One more question, if you have time. So you spent the year, of course, we touched on this a little bit, but spending a lot of time, of course, one-on-one with the vice president. I know you can't give too much behind-the-scenes color, but I am just curious, having spent so much time with her, what you think the media coverage or narrative around her and her role in the administration just seems to miss. That's just not accurate.
So I'll do the administration first, and I will talk about our illustrious vice president. I think what the media apparatus misses about the administration is they really just want to take the headlines. And this is across the board. And I think we as a media apparatus have to do a better job of peeling back the layer just a little bit and giving the context, which is what I'm trying to aim to do with my show.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about student loan forgiveness and the fact that Chuck Schumer and many other Democrats and advocates want the president to forgive a lot of student loan debt, we also have to talk about the fact that this administration has already forgiven $17 billion of student loan debt for more than 750,000 people. That's a lot of people, or 725,000 actually. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of debt. That's a lot of coinage. Okay, so we got to set the context up. So it's not that ain't nobody had no debt forgiveness anywhere. It is that the president made a campaign promise and that people are holding him to account on the campaign promise that he made about debt across the board. That's fair game. That's fair game. But when's the last time you heard it set up like that?
Right, right, you did. Right.
In terms of Vice President Harris, I feel so blessed and lucky to have been able to be a part of history. I supported the first woman, the first Black woman Vice President of the United States of America. And the thing I think that the media misses about her specifically is the unwillingness to identify and acknowledge their own bias. And the media apparatus, if people really, I think that every single person that decides to write a story should ask themselves, would I ask these questions about a man? Would I ask these questions about President Joe Biden? Would I ask these questions about Vice President Pence? And if the answer is yes, please carry on, honey. But if the answer is no, or you hesitate, you should question if a little bias has creeped up into the reporting. You should question if the fact that she's a woman of color, a Black woman, has something to do with that. And I think that I saw it intimately. It was my job to interface every day with the media. And I found myself pushing people and challenging them to ask themselves that question. It's a question I will also continue to challenge myself and ask, well, am I thinking about this differently because we're talking about young people? Am I thinking about this differently because we're talking about women? Challenging my team, because as a media apparatus, we have a responsibility to tell the truth and be honest with people. But we also, and concurrently with that, in doing so, we have to make sure we get the whole story right, just not a piece that is sensational.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and experiences. Remind us again, crystal clear, everybody can watch Simone Saturday, May 7th.
Saturday, May 7th at 4 p.m. And then again on Sunday, same time, 4 p.m. And then you can catch me Mondays and Tuesdays on Peacock on demand. You can catch those shows all week long. I'm very excited. I cannot wait.
I'm super excited about the culture part. I can't wait for that. That's so exciting.
It's something nobody else is doing on television. I promise you, you won't see it anywhere else. It's mine. I have branded the thing, and it's going to be great.
I can't wait to find out what it is. Thank you so much. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.